It is the doctrines which will strengthen and support us in peace and calm, which will include simultaneously the whole of life and the universe in its completeness. There is the same difference between philosophical doctrines and precepts as there is between elements and members. The latter depend upon the former, while the former are the source both of the latter and of all things. People say, the old-style wisdom advised only what one should do and avoid, and yet the men of former days were better men by far. When savants have appeared, sages have become rare, for that frank, simple virtue has changed into hidden and crafty knowledge. We are taught how to debate, not how to live. Of course, as you say, the old-fashioned wisdom, especially in its beginnings, was crude. But so were the other arts, in which dexterity developed with progress. Nor indeed in those days was there yet any need for carefully planned cures. Wickedness had not yet reached such a high point, or scattered itself so broadcast. Plain vices could be treated by plain cures. Now, however, we need defenses erected with all the greater care, because of the stronger powers by which we are attacked. Medicine once consisted of the knowledge of a few simples, to stop the flow of blood, or to heal wounds. Then, by degrees, it reached its present stage of complicated variety. No wonder that in early days medicine had less to do. Men's bodies were still sound and strong. Their food was light and not spoiled by art and luxury. Whereas, when they began to seek dishes, not for the sake of removing, but of rousing the appetite, and devised countless sauces to whet their gluttony, then what before was nourishment to a hungry man became a burden to the full stomach. Thence come paleness and a trembling of wine-sodden muscles, and a repulsive thinness, due rather to indigestion than to hunger. Thence weak, tottering steps, and a reeling gait just like that of drunkenness. Thence dropsy, spreading under the entire skin, and the belly, growing to a paunch through ill habit of taking more than it can hold. Thence yellow jaundice, discolored countenances, and bodies that rot inwardly, and fingers that grow knotty when the joints stiffen, and muscles that are numbed and without power of feeling, and palpitation of the heart with its ceaseless pounding. Why need I mention dizziness, or speak of pain in the eye and in the ear, itching and aching in the fevered brain, and internal ulcers throughout the digestive system? Besides these, there are countless kinds of fever, some acute in their malignity, others creeping upon us with subtle damage, and still others, which approach us with chills and severe ague. Why should I mention the other innumerable diseases, the tortures that result from high living? Men used to be free from such ills. because they had not yet slackened their strength by indulgence, because they had control over themselves and supplied their own needs. They toughened their bodies by work and real toil, tiring themselves out by running or hunting or tilling the earth. They were refreshed by food in which only a hungry man could take pleasure. Hence, there was no need for all our mighty medical paraphernalia, for so many instruments and pill boxes. For plain reasons, they enjoyed plain health. It took elaborate courses to produce elaborate diseases. Mark the number of things, all to pass down a single throat, that luxury mixes together after ravaging land and sea. So many different dishes must surely disagree. They are bolted with difficulty and are digested with difficulty, each jostling against the other. And no wonder that diseases which result from ill-assorted food are variable and manifold. There must be an overflow when so many unnatural combinations are jumbled together. Hence, there are as many ways of being ill as there are of living. The illustrious founder of the Guild and Profession of Medicine remarked that women never lost their hair or suffered from pain in the feet. And yet, nowadays, they run short of hair and are afflicted with gout. This does not mean that woman's physique has changed, but that it has been conquered. In rivaling male indulgences, they have also rivaled the ills to which men are heirs. They keep just as late hours and drink just as much liquor. They challenge men in wrestling and carousing. They are no less given to vomiting from distended stomachs and to thus discharging all their wine again. Nor are they behind the men in gnawing ice, as a relief to their fevered digestions, and